Tyrant, Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, Episode 8. In this installment, Margot and family have boarded a jet and are soon to arrive in Detroit. The family touched down in Motor City, wheels scudding on the ice-swept tarmac. Detroit, in-laws, Christmas, two nieces from the Red Continent, backseat, big eyes, first snow. Yogi helped Aunt Miriam stow luggage in the SUV, slam of doors, turn of ignition. They heard Aunt Miriam on the cell phone with Cousin Dalby. "Where are you?" "McDonald's? Okay, make sure you're home by 7. Aunt Margaret and all are here." The eyes of the girls lit up. Nosh is big time love or hate, junk food, their kid taboo. The shiny SUV roared on through the inner city, shops derelict, schools all smashed, crack houses, drunks in overcoats, hunchbacked in slush. The girls had never seen the new world. Devil's Night riots were here, frozen in time. Margot reflected. Things haven't changed. It's still a zombie zone. Miriam slammed her automatic foot. The girls gasped, bracing themselves, necks jerking like cloth dollies. Shock and silence, they peer through a porthole of mist at a three-man kicking dance, booting one more black man into kingdom come. The girls are scared. What is next? This was where the first motor city of the Western world died. From the neighborhood to the burbs in 40 years. Downtown kikes and 50s car worker Polacks mix and spicks, turning full afro, land prices down, race tensions up, and the city heart was squeezed out from ribs of steel streets like Elmwood or Stockton or Maple, cauterized by Uber freeways going bumper to chrome bumper, automania veering off to nuclear clone homes, front lawn with press-button garages, mega-plazas nearby, paradise made in Detroit, the shrinking city migrating from hysteria to disturbia. A little big house in the suburbs, Sister Miriam's and husband John's, with Cousin Dalby, Cousin Stephen, snow, lawn, driveway, garage, dog. They will stay here, not with Grandma. It's easier. Mom's getting old, Sis said. A bunk bed, spare room, smell of mothballs. I'm calling in pizza. The girls lit up. A red-nosed clown burst through the door, flopping in sloppy shoes. Well, hello, hello, hello. Uncle John was back from a birthday show. He went to lift Adele to his thick red lips and white-paint face. She shied and clung to Mum's leg, her pillar. Pauline stared, could not move, incredulous. Clowns in her clan? It was all too weird. Hey, it's yo-ho-ho, alrighty, gotta go. He's off to Amway to perfect the art of home sales, hyper happy vitamin show. Jet lag, cocoa, snowfall. Girls in the top bunk with their mum worn out. Jet lag, cocoa, snowfall. Her babies were clinging hard. How long could they hang on? Jet lag, cocoa, snowfall. In the lower bunks, he's the stranger facing the wall.
Can we go out to the mall? Can we have light-up shoes? Mom, can we have a bubble bath? Can we make French toast?
They shadowed and clung onto her and woke up at night, whined, giggled, niggled and wiggled themselves to sleep with her fingers running across their rabbity faces, because this would be last chance to snuggle together on a sofa, wriggle into her sweater, play tug-of-war with her white scarf, two of them pulling her over onto the carpet, mother and daughters, girls forever and ever. She was the alarm clock, hearing,
"No, it's too cold. I don't want to."
"Come on, get in the shower."
"Please towel my back dry, Mum."
She endured,
"Where is my pink top? Who took my hair clip?"
And,
"There's a spider in the toilet bowl,"
she heard.
"I don't feel good in the tummy, Mummy."
The spelling bee, times tables, quiz after dinner, Chinese checkers, noughts and crosses, she nodded.
"Or, read another story, just one more."
Tuck them in, kiss the forehead, leave the light on, please. She was not the TV bowl of popcorn queen and hours on the telephone with girlfriends. She was fold the clothes, read a book, knit another sweater, and the ear awake at night who only dozes. Margaret was back with husband three, life worn, head low, back here, humbled. She read Big Sister's frozen glee, and inside hears, again she's stumbled. Why had they been so far, not close? Mother, sisters, rivals, foes? Bookworm, scholar, linguist, loner. Was she the one looking down her nose? Mother, seeker, bride, old soul, pick a card or spin the bottle. Today, which kind of face to play? Tomorrow, who to kiss or cuddle? Yogi was groggy, not so comfortable, and sat in the room strumming his guitar. His brain was messed up like a board of Scrabble. He'd caught a cold, was coughing up guitar. John was doing his Santa shtick somewhere. The house was empty, Miriam was at work. Margot was marching the girls through winter air, angry they had called Yogi a jerk. Their first American word. She prayed their last. "How dare you call a grown-up by that name?" She was the whiplash striking Pauline fast. She second-guessed herself. Was she to blame, not acting sooner, laying down more law? She was livid and frog-marched them in front, wishing their frozen hearts would crack and thaw. Where had Pauline learned to be so blunt? Or was it rebellion after last night's call from dearest Papa? He always wound them up. He was the jerk, not willing to play ball. Or was he pitching for her marriage breakup? Meanwhile, Yogi strummed his way through pain of headache and the clogged up phlegm of life. He tried to switch off right and be left brain about it. Chill, you'll get back your wife. Christmas Day was on the way. The girls were back from a spree with bundles of bows and packages to be stashed beneath the tree. Dalby fussed a bit today, as if the girls were toys. She dragged out her old dollhouse, then rushed to meet bad boys. Cousin Steve was the night raccoon the girls could never meet. Dark rings around his eyes, he lived down on Burger King Street. Big Mom Miriam said, "Come inside, help me clear the clothesline." She was rushing her Amway orders, dish drops that smelt like pine. Little hearts rang like microwaves, with eyeballs hooked on cable. This happy home had a buffalo that roamed the knick-knack table. Adele was in the front room colouring. Pauline was feeding squirrels in last sunlight. He'd bought a picture book on puppet making after their night of shadows black on white. He thought Adele might show her angel wing. Yes, they might bond with flat coffee stirrers and dollar store, hole punch, cardstock, tape and string. He sat down showering, dropping wooden skewers he'd also found. Miss Curious looked on. On purpose, he badly stenciled a horse's head from the picture puppet manual, whereupon she frowned at his poor tracing in stencil lead until she couldn't stand it any more and took fresh paper to the book. "Like this," she said, working diligently on the floor, setting right that which had gone amiss. Soon Pighead, Eagle, Foxy, Socks and Snake were cut and coloured with fresh trim and glitter. He stimped out cardstock waves to make a lake as the front piece of the puppet theatre. They linked the arms with joints and punched each hole, attached the stirrers, taped skewers at the back. The stage was set for tales of puppet patrol, with a puppet boat soon under aerial attack from Baldy the Eagle. They jiggled elbow and arm, squeaking loud, "Help! We're gonna drown!" neighing and snorting and barking out the alarm. Pauline appeared in the doorway wearing a frown. "Dale!" she screamed, her voice a buzzsaw note. Her sister, the traitor! She was going to tell Papa! How dare he launch his stupid boat and steal her sister! "You come here, Adele!"
"Let's go shopping. Mom, let's go skating. Mom, let's have a pizza. Mom, let's see Grandma."
She lived close by in a prefab kit home, snow on the sidewalk. They pulled into the driveway.
"My little darlings, my little doves, come in from the cold. What darling gloves."
Margot should have been gleeful as the red brush-tailed squirrel that skittered down the drainpipe. Fur tails scarped across the crisp snow to swipe a potato peeling that hung a long moustache from the garbage. She was a shadow in the kitchen window. Within eyeshot, her mom was serving two little girls with strawberry cake. Margaret and rival sisters once put the same silver spoons in their mouths. She remembered little sister Mimsy licking off the moustache of cream, and Miriam, Mum's right hand, fussing in the icebox while she herself stood last at the door. "Help yourself, Margaret," Mum had said. So she did, studied, saved up, and left for Paris on her 18th birthday. A silver bird lifted her away until this Christmas that brought her back 10 years later with rabbit kittens to the squirrel house. The brush-tailed forager found the peelings. The squirrel is tame in its own backyard. Morning after snow, the girls rolled a ball, big enough for a body, an upper torso, but far too heavy to lift. No one else was around, gone to work or comatose from late-night dates, except their stepdad. At last he was useful, so lifted it into place. After the tropics, something might have begun to thaw. Margot went out with the girls. Sister Miriam and Sister Mimsy at the table drank instant coffee with new brother-in-law. Mimsy had come to check him out. He blathered on and on. Yoga, boga, mantra, yantra, karma, dharma, Bhagavad Gita, the eightfold limbs, the seeker's path. "Is this position like an octopus?" Netty, string and water, nostril cleansing. Why don't they just blow their noses? Ida, Pingala and Tushumna. Some weird spinal energy freeway. The ascending flower garden chakras. Road house stops from head to ass. They nodded and smiled, sipped politely. Margaret never told us all this. Sounds so complicated, said X-Track Team Princess Little Mimsy. Yogi went off to the toilet. They shot worried glances at one another. And she burns that incense, Miriam said. My house smells like a cult. Yogi cooked a sit-down dinner the night before Christmas. Uncle John the clown said, Lord, we are truly grateful. Politeness flapped serviettes, silence passed on the rice, uncertainty poked at spiced vegetables, skepticism avoided mango pickle. The girls turned up their noses and cousins were fussy skunks. The clown said, oh, this is real nice, real nice. Miriam nodded. Yogi brought more chapatis. Sort of like pancakes, huh?
They should be round, not maps of India, answered Yogi.
They didn't get it or want to. This meal was his big gesture toward bringing family together. And, hey, let me in too. No one could recall when they last sat down together. Tonight, one no friends, influenced no relatives. He was the bad choice, taking naive Aunt Margot off to flies and dirt. She chewed each bite, didn't say a word. She slumped in his lap with wet eyes, the rabbits nested in their bunk. He turned on the portable television. What's on? They needed distraction. Cartoon Network, Living in Squirrel Land, Reality TV Central, Sibling Rivals, Sci-Fi Channel, Look Mom, I'm an Alien, Taste TV, Return of the Killer Japatis. Everything was close to the bone. She grabbed the remote, shot the screen with the off button. He took it gently from her clenched fist like a smoking gun. Dreams harangued, girls whined to her. She sat through mother chats in snowstorms, sisters clicking tongues behind, and wanted to fast forward through the Christmas season. Millie pinned the socks with holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The singing clown tried to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Put on Christmas hats for lunch, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Disapproval spiked the punch, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Adele's new Barbie's on her lap, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Millie pinned the socks with holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The singing clown tried to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Put on Christmas hats for lunch, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Disapproval spiked the punch, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Adele's new Barbie's on her lap, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Pauline's Walkman starts to rap, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The girls are gifts on Grandma's knee, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The lights flash danger from the tree, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Stack the deck with sister power, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The squirrel season had turned sour, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Margaret's paid her filial debt, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Time to board the silver jet, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi
a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. If you'd like to check out more of my work, go to my website at chrismooneysingh.com. Meanwhile, let's meet up next week for another episode. Until then, bye.